Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And we're sponsored once again today by Casper Mattresses. Right now, Three Martini Lunch listeners can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch and using lunch as your promo code. Jim, it's been, about 7 months since Election Day 2016, and the new election cycle starts today in Virginia. It's primary day for governor and lieutenant governor, and this is one of the two states that has gubernatorial elections this year. Three different Republicans on the ballot, so there should be a candidate for just about everyone's taste, unless you're a conservative. So pretty meager crop this year, but pretty clear Ed Gillespie is going to be the nominee, and he will most likely be light years and leaps and bounds better than either of the Democratic candidates, Perriello or Northam, both of whom are trying to see how far left they can go.
Yeah, Greg, I was talking with a Democratic neighbor today, and he said, well, I'm voting for the progressive. And I said, oh, really? Are you voting for the Perriello, who was rated A-plus by the NRA a few years back, or are you voting for Northam, who voted for George W. Bush? He said, well, no, I'm voting for the progressive. Teasingly, I said, those are your choices. Now, I realize it makes me sound like I'm endorsing the Democrats, but really, the joke here is you have two guys who don't really have terribly progressive records, each trying to pretend that they're Bernie Sanders. So also, let's not give short shrift to the Republican side. If you really believe that taking down a Confederate statue is every bit as bad as ISIS, Corey Stewart is your man. So for both Virginians who feel that way, I'm sure they're quite pleased with their options on the ballot there. I don't know about how it was for you, Greg. I was over at the Authenticity Woods polling place around 10 o'clock. It was myself and two tumbleweeds going by. So my guess is – now, look, it's after the main rush hour. My schedule's free enough that I can vote at, you know, after kind of the main early morning workers are going there. But man, I'm not expecting runaway turnout on a day like today.
Yeah, I haven't actually voted yet. So we'll see if I actually get around to doing it, given the crop this year. And turnout is going to be extraordinarily low, I would guess. It usually is in my precinct, unless it's a presidential election day. So we will see. But let's move on to the good martini, and let's go to CNN with the breaking news a little bit earlier this morning.
All right, we have some significant breaking news for you out of North Korea. We have learned that one of the four Americans detained in North Korea, Otto Warmbier, has been released.
Otto Warmbier, that name should ring a bell if you've been following news out of North Korea in the last couple of years. I believe it was very early last year, Jim, that he was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor for taking down a poster of Kim Jong-un at a hotel. And of course, that somehow warrants 15 years of hard labor in North Korea. There was some jokes going around this morning because Dennis Rodman happens to be on one of his bizarre visits to North Korea that somehow he should get credit for this. Rex Tillerson made the announcement in a much more dignified way than I'm sure Dennis Rodman ever would have, although I guess there are still vacancies at the State Department, so he may be considered. But here is the more sobering news out of this. There's a reason the North Koreans are letting him go. Here's more of CNN.
A source close to the Warmbier family says that Otto Warmbier is in a, quote, bad shape, that he's currently on this medevac flight to the U.S. And the source says the family was only told recently that Otto has been in a coma since March 2016.
So that's obviously horrible news, Jim. I can't even imagine being in a coma, but in a North Korean prison for well over a year. So sobering news here. Still good that he's alive and that they're letting him come home. Hopefully there's a way to treat whatever is wrong with him. But what do you make of all this?
I was going to say, you have to feel like the likelihood of a successful recovery are better with the best American health treatment and coverage than the very finest North Korean prison medical treatment that they have there. A couple of thoughts here. One is that obviously you don't want to pick on somebody who's been through an ordeal like this, but if by any chance you are contemplating traveling to North Korea, don't do that. And I realize, Greg, this may mean we don't get the North Korean Tourism Bureau as a sponsor for this podcast. But look, when you go over there, you're basically volunteering to be a hostage when the North Korean regime feels like it needs another bargaining chip for dealing with the U.S. Do not understand that. The U.S. has a pretty, you know, everything short of a giant flashing red neon sign telling Americans not to travel there. It may be time to consider an actual travel ban and just simply not permit that. Yes, there are need for journalists over there. Yes, there are various relief workers and other folks, but at some point the risk just gets too considerable. For a long time, heading into the Trump administration, everybody kind of joked, he going to send Dennis Rodman over there to handle North Korea negotiations? Well, it does turn out that, Rodman is going over there. From Rodman's comments on CNN, he certainly sounded like he had at least checked in with the administration or checked in with the government to know that he was going over there. And I was thinking about this, Greg. I remember that, a couple of years ago, Bill Clinton went there. It was seen as a step to get the release of those two American journalists, including, I believe it was Lisa Ling's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And their idea was that, well, this is the new leverage of the North Korean regime, that basically they would take Americans hostage and then demand if they couldn't get a face-to-face summit with the president, then they would kind of use this to extort a meeting with U.S. government officials. Well, here's the thing. If Rodman meetings are what it takes to placate this guy, maybe this is a price we should be willing to pay. And I'm going to ignore everyone who's saying, no, let him keep Rodman. We don't need him. Let him just stay over there and set up a new NBA franchise in Pyongyang or something like that. Here we clearly have a thoroughly incoherent, illogical and erratic leader over there in North Korea in Kim Jong-un. We might as well have to think about doing something like this. Maybe it's worthwhile. The consequences of sending a Dennis Rodman over there and letting him get what he wants in some sort of bizarre little photo op in order to achieve our objectives, whether it's a hostage release or other policy objectives, maybe this is something we need to look at. Either way, anytime an American is freed by a North Korean regime, I think it's a good day. And I think, hopefully this American will be making a health recovery shortly after he returns to American soil.
Special envoy Dennis Rodman. That has an odd ring to it. I'm also trying to imagine the phone conversation between Rodman, who is usually fairly unintelligible, with Rex Tillerson, and that long drawl that he's got as he as he speaks. That would be a pretty weird scene right there.
Somebody asked me yesterday how on earth could Rodman be considered remotely qualified for any position involving national security. And I just say, well, he did play defense.
Very well, actually.
Yeah. Exactly. Our foreign policy is rebounding.
Just think if it was all an act and he was really under deep cover this whole time for the past 30 years and he's actually mining fantastic secrets from our deepest, darkest enemies. That would be
Greg, I am not making this up. My colleague Jay Nordlinger, who wrote this fascinating book on the children of dictators, says that when Dennis Rodman came back and started discussing his meetings with Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-un's family, he started saying things that American intelligence had never been able to figure out, like the names of his daughters and things like that. So it's honest to goodness, Dennis Rodman is a valuable source of information about the North Korean regime to American intelligence. This isn't saying he's a spy. It's just saying that Rodman gets access to things that other Americans can't. So, unwittingly, maybe he is he's not the hero we want, Greg. He's the hero we deserve.
Wow. All right. Your move, Scottie Pippen. All right. Let's move on to the bad martini now. And on to the big speculation that's going on in Washington right now about whether President Trump will fire the special counsel, that being former FBI Director Robert Mueller, who's only been on the job a few weeks, assigned to that job by the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein since Jeff Sessions, who will be testifying later today, has officially recused himself from the Russia investigation. This has ginned up a lot of chatter on the cable networks and on the social media and beyond ever since yesterday's NewsHour on PBS, when the head of Newsmax, Christopher Ruddy, who considers himself close to Trump, went on the air and said this.
I think he's considering perhaps terminating the special counsel. I think he's weighing that option. I think it's pretty clear by what one of his lawyers said on television recently. I personally think it would be a very significant mistake.
He is perhaps considering firing Robert Mueller. Two things here, Jim. First of all, I think, as many folks have said, Bob Mueller getting fired would be about the dumbest political move that Donald Trump could ever possibly do. And when you talk about perhaps considering removing Bob Mueller, it goes back to all the discussions we've had about the media frothing at the mouth about things that Trump is reportedly considering, and then most of which never happened. So it reminded me of this scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller? Bueller?
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
So, Jim, by the word of mouth we're getting here, maybe, perhaps, possibly considering, I'm not sure how much stake we should put in this.
I was going to say, the person who probably laughs loudest at the Trump is considering stories is Reince Priebus. whose political obituary has been written like on a near daily basis in this young Trump administration. And here it is, June 13th, Reince Priebus is still here, but he's going to be out by July 4th if things aren't fixed, or at least that's the latest rumor there. So this is, I think you're characterizing it accurately, Greg. I like the term Ala Pundit uses over there to describing it as political Chernobyl. you thought Comey was respected. Robert Mueller is very respected on both sides of the aisle as a straight shooter, as a good investigator, as a guy who can get to the bottom of this, and a guy who is not likely to go on a witch hunt or go on some sort of wild, unrelated tangent to this investigation. If anybody is the kind of guy you think can get to the bottom of it and not get consumed by the need to indict somebody somewhere over something, Mueller's the guy. And the idea of President Trump just firing the guy, or perhaps more accurately, in demanding Sessions and failing Sessions, Rosenstein, having all these guys, it turned into Saturday Night Massacre. You basically just start saying, if you won't do it, I'll fire you, and then find somebody else who will fire him. And it would just basically set his presidency on fire. A little bit of weirdness to this, because Ruddy makes the comments you play. Sean Spicer rushes out a statement saying that Trump had not spoken to Ruddy about Mueller. Ruddy then says, well, I never said that I spoke to the president about the matter. I guess he's saying he spoke to someone who spoke to the president who said he was considering this. Ruddy got kind of snippy with Sean Spicer. Look, at this point, if you're firing Mueller, it means you just don't want this investigated. That's the only way to characterize this. And at that point, most people would say, okay, this is obstruction of justice. This is interfering with the Department of Justice and not allowing it to do the job that it is, particularly if, as Trump insists, there's nothing that's going to ever lead back to him. And what's more, at least as of May 9th, the FBI had found nothing to indicate that they were looking back at President Trump. So there's no good reason to fire the guy. And everyone around Trump is telling him not to do it. You know what that means, Greg?
What?
He's probably going to do it over Twitter at 3 a.m. But it'll be misspelled, Kofifi. And like, does this mean Mueller's fired? Is it there's like two extra F's in there? So that's just my prediction of how this shakes out.
We will see. You know what happens, of course, when statements like this from Chris Ruddy dominate the cable news for the rest of the night. You get these 6 or 7-member panels, and they push it late into the evening when talking about things that may or may not even actually be considered by President Trump. So instead, these people are up late. What they could be doing is getting a good night's sleep. And Casper Mattresses is the way to go if they actually get the opportunity to not have to be on these cable news sets at 11 o'clock at night. Casper Mattresses. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep service, which was designed by obsessive engineers, was developed in-house, has a sleek design, and is delivered in a small, how-do-they-do-that box. So you don't have to make that cumbersome journey up the stairs with this mattress, trying to get it around corners and so forth. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups that get passed on to you. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. Its supportive memory foam offers a sleep surface that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature through the night.
Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend one-third of your life on this.
Yeah, good point. And if the people love it. The people who get this, they love it. 4.8 out of 5 stars. Over 20,000 reviews, quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. And right now, Three Martini Lunch listeners can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/lunch and using lunch as your promo code, casper.com/lunch. All right, Jim, moving on to the crazy martini now. And for those who don't know, Megyn Kelly has launched her brand new program with NBC. It's got the catchy title of Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly. Her first show a couple of weeks ago featured Vladimir Putin in an exclusive interview. Now on whatever this is, her second or third show, Putin has been replaced as the feature profile with Alex Jones, the host of InfoWars. He, of course, is best known as Mr. False Flag. He rants and raves a lot, thinks a lot of tragedies in the news are either caused by the government or never happened at all. For example, he thinks the horrific mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut back in 2012 never actually happened. And so for some reason, Megyn Kelly has decided that Alex Jones needs to get a lot of attention on her show very early on in the run of this show. And I'm not sure whether she's trying to embarrass him, make him the face of the writer, or what is the agenda here. But what do you make of all this?
Yeah, it didn't help that she began with the first promotion of the interview by saying, conservative talk show host Alex Jones. And every conservative started singing the old police song, Don't Stand So Close to Me. He's not with us. He's his own guy. Greg, you summarized his views very well. This is the sort of person that Fox Mulder of the X-Files would say, whoa, you're a little too far out there. I can't believe that. It just doesn't seem plausible to me. I mentioned in the Morning Jolt, I encountered him once at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, and we're going through the media building, and he's got this guy in a camera, he's speaking into a camera while he's walking, and he's got anywhere from like 15, 20 people around him, all recording with their cell phones, and so it's like this little mob, this little crowd going by, and Alex Jones is just screaming at the top of his lungs, that they pay for it, and I can barely make out the words. He is like just practically frothing at the mouth. And this, you just hear the noise coming, gets it right, you know, and you see it, and you're like, oh my God, this really is Alex Jones, and he really is as, I don't know whether he was broadcasting live or taping something for later, but he was a volcanic eruption in front of all those cameras. And then like a passing train, he just kind of goes, and then he walked down the hall. And that's the only encounter I've ever wanted to have with Alex Jones. So I'm kind of left with the question, because I'd be like, oh, you're calling for Megyn Kelly's censorship. No, I'm not saying, we should step in and tell her she can't. I'm just kind of directing this to Megyn Kelly. What is the news value of an interview with Alex Jones right now? The guy has his own daily weekday show. He rants and raves at the camera for hours. What we're getting with you, Megyn Kelly, different from what we see on his show? Now, if you actually dig into it, there's a really interesting question. To the extent there's any fascination around Alex Jones, it is the question of, is he this really who he is, or is this all an act? And this has been really interesting because it's been disputed in court in a custody battle. And we should point out that custody battles tend to bring out the worst in people, tend to bring out a lot of conflicting charges and countercharges. And we should, take everything that with the appropriate levels of grains of salt. But for what it's worth, his ex-wife says this is who he is, that there is no distinction between on-camera Alex Jones and off-camera Alex Jones. His lawyer said, no, this is all performance art. He doesn't believe what he says. This is all just putting on an act. But then Alex Jones got bothered by that, particularly when that testimony and the argument from his lawyer leaked. And Alex Jones said, no, I don't think of myself as a performance artist. So there's some interesting dispute. When people say, oh, Jim, you're just buying into an act or something like that. Actually, no. At least under oath, Alex Jones has said, this is not an act. This is who I really am. The second weird thing there is that, that guy's crazy. Greg, I kind of wonder, that guy's crazy. No, could there be something really mentally wrong with Alex Jones? And if that is the case, you kind of saw this argument about the old comedian Andy Kaufman, right? And on the one hand, he was so zany and so inspired and so out there. But then people said, no, he really was mentally ill. He really had something mentally wrong with him. And so you begin to wonder, are you laughing with the comedian or are you laughing at the comedian? If Alex Jones is a really deeply troubled individual who has these paranoid fantasies and beliefs and all that kind of stuff, is the world serving him badly, where instead of getting some sort of therapy to deal with all this, we've turned him into a celebrity? We've turned him into this guru spokesman prophet who a lot of people listen to, when in fact this guy is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And then the kind of question then turns to, okay, well, if his audience is as nutty as he is, fine. Megyn Kelly, what are you doing? And the whole argument there was like, well, this is, you know, a lot of people don't know him. I'm not quite sure that's the case. And then the second thing is the idea of, well, you know, our job is to shine a light. Now, I don't know about you, Greg. I feel like Alex Jones is pretty well lit. That there's not really a joke. I feel like you can tune into his show any day and you get to see him screaming that, you know, fluoride in the water is turning the frogs gay, and the Pentagon developed a gay bomb, and you're like, I think the guy's a nut, and I don't really understand. Like, there's a nutty guy yelling at the street corner of a lot of American cities. You don't see a one-on-one Megyn Kelly interview with that person. I don't understand what the public, how you serve your audience if you just talk to a crazy person and try to say, isn't this objectionable? Yes, of course it's objectionable. And the parents of the Sandy Hook kids are kind of looking at this and saying, well, this isn't really a really, you know, tough counterpoint to that. At one point, she accuses him of dodging the issue when Alex Jones begins rambling about dead Iraqi children and stuff like that. So anyway, I kind of feel like there's a collapse. Some bizarre decision making going on at NBC News. And I'm kind of glad that Megyn Kelly is getting this pushback. And I think maybe if you want to, you know, my old journalism professor used to say the first three letters in news are new, N-E-W, right? What is new about this interview with Alex Jones that we're not going to get to know anymore? Because otherwise, you're just finding a crazy person who loves controversy and putting the camera in front of them. And by golly, that's the sort of thing we expect from, you know, the British Labour Party.
Punchline,
but see, glad it was worth it.
Oh, very good. Jim, a lot of insanity out there. I am blissfully going to be leaving the insanity for the next week. So good luck with Rich McFadden taking my spot over the next several days. Hopefully you guys can sort out this town while I'm gone.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be completely calm and normal by the time you return, Greg.
I just wanted to say good luck. We're all counting on you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. And don't forget to visit our friends at Casper Mattresses. That's Casper, CASPER.com/lunch. And use lunch as your promo code to get $50 off towards any mattress purchase. And tune in on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.